Let's get to the headlines.
Hello and welcome to Healthcare Strategies Headlines. Woo! Today's episode, Hackensack Meridian hit with a $100,000 HIPAA fine. ACS outlines telehealth uses for surgery. AI heart failure tool receives FDA clearance and Cures Act improved patient access to imaging data. This is Kyle Murphy, Vice President of Editorial Intelligence Healthcare.
Hello.
And as always, I am joined by Kelsey Waddell.
That's me.
Kelsey, it is April.
It is. April. How is that possible?
I don't know. I think it's something to do with calendars.
Something like that.
And the marching of time.
Dang.
Dang it, dang it. Well, we don't have a lot of time to waste today, so let's get straight into the headlines. Starting with Hackensack Meridian hit with a $100,000 HIPAA fine.
Mm.
Ew. The Office for Civil Rights has imposed a $100,000 penalty on Hackensack Meridian Health, West Caldwell Care Center, also known as Essex Residential Care, for violations of the HIPAA right of access. The action follows a complaint initiated by a patient's son in May 2020. Claiming the facility failed to grant him access to his mother's medical records despite being her designated personal representative.
Hmm.
That's not good.
No.
The failure to provide records in a timely manner contradicts the HIPAA privacy rule, which mandates that covered entities deliver requested medical records within 30 days. The records were ultimately provided 161 days after the initial request.
Well, I can't do that math, but
that's
that sounds
lot.
Like a lot more than... That's a lot more.
OCR emphasizes the critical nature of timely access to health records to ensure appropriate medical care and compliance with HIPAA regulations. This enforcement action is part of a broader effort by the federal agency to ensure healthcare entities comply with HIPAA. Kelsey, it's really, really, really hard to imagine that nearly 30 years, I believe, if I do math, you know, after HIPAA was actually enacted originally, and then obviously the privacy rule came later, about a decade later, that we're still having issues.
Yeah.
Getting people who are designated to access records to actually see this information. Your thoughts on why there are such delays?
Yeah, well, access to patient data is going to be a theme of this episode, apparently, because we have another story on it later. I think we're getting mixed results across the industry on speed and efficiency of access to care. We're also seeing, as we'll talk about in a moment, mixed results about whether or not that like immediate access to this data is overall 100% a positive thing, but there's a lot of barriers to immediate access, and
it's amazing that a rule that's about access and accessibility actually does the opposite. But who am I for irony? I don't know. Tell me something positive.
Yeah. So the ACS, or the American College of Surgeons, has outlined some telehealth uses for surgery. Ooh. So telehealth might not be what you automatically think of when you think of the surgical profession, but there are ways that the surgical profession can use this tool for good. So in a recent statement, ACS highlighted telehealth's potential to improve access, collaboration, and efficiency in delivering top-notch care. Telehealth allows patients in remote areas to access surgical expertise and surgeons' input without having to do all the travel to get to them.
That's neat.
Yeah. It also gives patients access to a wider variety of surgical services, and it streamlines healthcare delivery by reducing wait times. Mm. But the effects also go beyond enabling surgical processes. The telehealth can also empower surgery patients. It, according to the ACS, it lets them take a more active role in their treatment, and it also ensures consistent monitoring and follow-up care. So a lot of positives.
These are positive.
More specifically, ACS recommended telehealth use for consultations, preoperative assessments, follow-up appointments, and multidisciplinary collaboration. So obviously not in the surgical room.
No.
But all of the things around
yes.
the surgical room
yes.
is where we want to use this. As long as it, you know, maintains the quality of an in-person visit and
that.
Overall enhances patient management. They also offered some guidance for those who seek to integrate telehealth into their practices, specifically, you know, emphasizing adherence to regulations, technological readiness, patient education, ethical considerations. Cultural sensitivity is also important, and that, you know, surgeons should have a consumer-friendly platform and safe, speedy internet connection.
I would hope they would have
also,
a connection. I
yes.
would think that'd be important.
Having a Wi-Fi connection seems like a pretty crucial part of that. So, Kyle, it seemed I thought we during COVID, like all of the telehealth uses, I figured we'd thought about them all, but it sounds like there's some new ones to explore still.
You and I bump into our former colleague Eric Wicklund at every single trade show that we go to.
We do.
And yes. Eric used to write about telesurgery way back when, you know, there was, we actually had a speaker at an event in the past who would talk about somebody needed to perform a surgery on a boat out at sea or an oil rig, and they phone call to a surgeon who guided the person on the other end through it.
Wow.
I mean, we have so many ways of connecting. Yeah. So the fact that we can use technology to connect expertise to people wherever they are, I think is tremendous. And I think this is what technology should be doing. It should be bridging connections, not dividing people.
Yeah.
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 Do you agree?
Tell me more.
Yeah,
I agree.
You want more?
Tell me more. I feel like there's more there. What about AI? Do you have something to tell me about AI?
Oh, AI heart failure tool receives FDA clearance. EcoHealth has achieved FDA clearance for its artificial intelligence, AI-based low EF ejection fraction detection tool integrated into the Eco stethoscope. And I said that word right on the first try. The technology allows physicians to identify low EF, a key indicator of heart failure, within 15 seconds during routine physical examinations.
Wow.
It's worth noting that more than 6 million people in the United States suffer from heart failure, half of whom have heart failure with reduced ejection fraction, marked by the heart's decreased efficiency in pumping blood. Sound effects are free.
That was the sound effect.
That was the sound effect I was able to perform today. Traditional detection methods such as echocardiography face limitations in primary care settings due to their costs, of course, the need for specialized training, of course, and time constraints.
Of course.
Often leading to undiagnosed heart failure cases until the appearance of symptoms. The low EF AI complements existing FDA-cleared algorithms for detecting AFib and structural heart murmurs and should speed up the diagnostic process as well as facilitate timely access to necessary treatments by allowing primary care examinations to serve as gateways to specialized cardiac care.
Wow. You sound extremely excited about this. Yeah, no, this is exciting.
It's about time.
15 seconds is very impressive.
You get 15 minutes of fame, but you got 15 seconds to save someone's life. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm just going to put it out there.
Yeah.
We're really on an upswing here. Give me some more positive news to round out the show.
Let's keep it going. So 21st Century Cures Act improved patient access to imaging data. So the 21st Century Cures Act and certain information blocking rules around that, which passed in 2016 with the goal of improving patient access to data, has enabled patients to see their radiology and imaging reports faster, according to a report from the American Journal of Rentgenology. I hope I'm saying that right.
What kind of word is that?
Yeah, it's R-O-E-N-T-G-E-N-O-L-O-G-R.
Oh, I'm seeing it. Yeah. It's still not making sense.
I'm not sure how that's supposed to be said. I'm apologizing to the AJR. Anyway, in the study, the research team compared patient access to imaging and radiology reports before and after the act went into effect. Conducted retrospectively, the study analyzed data from a large health system, which began enforcing the policies to comply with the act on January 1st, 2022. Specifically, the researchers observed outpatient imaging exams from January 1st, 2021 to December 31st, 2022. And the results showed that patients could access their reports more promptly with a noticeable reduction in the time it took from report finalization to release in the patient portal.
Portals.
Before the Cures Act implementation, patients had to wait a median of 47.3 hours to see their results.
That's almost two days.
But post-implementation, it took 8.9 hours for the data to appear in their patient portals.
That's less than one day.
It's less than half a day. It's like a work day. Additionally, after implementation, a higher proportion of patients accessed their reports before the ordering provider even saw them. However, it does remain to be seen how the speedier access will affect patient experience. The authors acknowledge that there could be some disadvantages to these advancements. But on the whole, what the Cures Act was trying to do in this space seems to be working. So, Kyle, what do you think about the progress of the Cures Act, the progress of getting patient data? I mean, we have one example here where it is not getting to people on time, and we have one example here where it kind of is getting there. What do you think?
This bill received a lot of bipartisan support. I remember the process of them marking it up, and I will admit, I was surprised that it got through. And it actually contains many, many provisions that have finally come to fruition. Over the past few years with interoperability, information blocking, now access, this is everything you want legislation to do, which is to change behavior in the healthcare system. So
yeah, listen up, Congress. This is the example we want to see.
See? You can pass things if you work together.
Yeah.
Just like you can make podcasts.
When you work together.
Work as a team.
Yeah.
That's been Healthcare Strategies Headlines. Thank you so much for listening today. Like, subscribe, follow.
And check us out on YouTube.
At Healthcare Strategies. Woo. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
This is a Tech Target production.